Well, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I would suggest that's where you go. Just go to the Lord. And, you know, when you need a friend, sometimes when you have a friend, you need to go to the Lord because your friends give you trouble sometimes. All right, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you'll open your Bible there. We're going to begin reading in verse 6, and I want to preach to you a message. Now, it'll be easy if you get the wrong idea from this message, all right? So I'll try to work at it, make sure you don't get the wrong idea, all right? Just make sure you don't do that. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I want to preach tonight on the subject of gain and godliness. The Lord links together two very different ideas. Two very different ideas. At least they're very different in the eyes and in the thoughts of men. When it comes to gain and godliness, especially when it comes to gain, most people really want it. Most people really desire gain. On the other hand, you don't find a lot of people lining up to accumulate godliness. And the saddest thing is, all right, it's true even among professing Christians. It's hard to get, in the mind of men, these two things, gain and godliness, are pretty much on the opposite ends of the spectrum of want, if you will. They want gain intensely, but we don't want godliness very much. And like I said, even God's people, it's hard to see it. Christians today are looking even for ways to get along without much in the way of godliness. And even to be able to come up with arguments for being worldly so they can justify their lack of godliness. It's kind of an interesting thing, all right? Now, obviously, the Bible takes the exact opposite approach, all right? The Word of God. And since we profess to be Bible believers, we ought to really stick with the book, all right? I just want to look at a few things tonight about the subject of gain and godliness. And I said it'd be real easy for you to get the wrong idea. I'm not against gain. I'm not against you being successful. I'm not against you being successful financially. I would not be upset if every member of our church became multimillionaires. As long as you continue to tithe, all right? It'll be all right. Just don't get to the point where you say, "Well, I'm making so much, I have to give too much." No, don't do that. But, you know, I want you to succeed. I want you to have gain and all of that. But let's look at this thing of gain and godliness. And I want to begin with your arrival. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "For we brought nothing into this world." When you came with nothing. And that is true with every person. Everybody arrives in life with the same accumulation of stuff. You've got none. You bring nothing with you. It is just you. You're here. We get here with nothing. Now you say, "Well, wait a minute, preacher. Some people are born in a lot better circumstances." I understand that. I understand that. Some people are born into very wealthy families and all that kind of stuff. Some people are born into very poor circumstances and I understand that completely, but I want you to know everybody brings the same thing when you come. Y'all, we brought the same thing. We all bring nothing. Now, we may arrive with nothing, but have you ever noticed it doesn't take long at all before we're taught to have, to want, and to keep it? I never cease to marvel at little kids that are so possessive of stuff. You put two kids in the nursery, little big kids can't speak hardly, but they will corral toys and they will let you know immediately, "These are mine, don't touch them." And if that child over there, he goes and picks one up, and this one sees it, oh, no, I wanted that one too, and they'll try to fight over that same toy. It's amazing how we get that way so quick. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of training. You didn't have to train your children to say, mine! And give you that look as if, how dare you even think about touching my stuff? We learn to do that so quickly. We learn to have and then to want more than we have, and then to try to keep everything that we have. We're just that way, all right? We're possessive as possessive can be. But this whole thing revolves back. Look at verse 8, and it comes down to the situation of our attitude. The Bible says in verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hey, contentment, folks, is an attitude. It is an attitude that we can have, all right? Hey, in spite of how life begins, and in spite of how covetous we can become, the Bible makes it real plain that contentment is derived from our attitude. It's derived from our attitude. It's not derived from, well, if I just have that, no. I'll never forget, years ago, read a book, biography on John D. Rockefeller. You've probably heard somebody say something like this too. And somebody asked him, well, you know, when will you, you know, what dollar is going to make it enough? And you'll have enough. And he said, the next one. It's always the next one. Now, he was, in today's term, multi-billionaire in his day. His family, they're still spending the money he made, all right? So, I mean, he'd been dead a long time. How does that happen? Well, we get covetous. And we're not content. The problem in life is that the more folks have, the more we want. The more we want. Now, I said nothing's wrong with having a desire to better yourself. I'm not against that. But the problem comes in when we develop such a possessive attitude, but then that attitude possesses us. It overcomes us. It becomes that attitude of, I've got to have, and I've got to have, and I've got to have more, and I've got to have more, I've got to have more. Just not content with what we do have. And like I say, the more we have, the more we want. The more we want. And hey, I really wish I could stand here and tell you I am not afflicted with that. And I could, but I'd be lying. Because I'm afflicted with it. There's some things I never have got quite enough of. I love old-time quartet singing. And I've never gotten the last CD or album that I want. I'll be listening. A lot of times I go on YouTube and listening, and I'll find an album and say, man, I never even heard of that album. I sure wish I had a copy of that. And then you start looking for it, okay? Hey, but we need to be careful that that attitude of possessing doesn't possess us, all right? I want you to think about when people today have more than we've ever had. People today have more than people have ever had. When I was a kid, as I always tell kids in school, right after the invention of the light bulb, when I was a kid, folks got by with a whole lot less. A whole lot less. And they were just as happy, and maybe more so, than people are today, all right? For instance, most families had one vehicle. If they had a vehicle, they only had one. You didn't drive by houses and see two vehicles at the house. They had one car, one vehicle. And now you say, preacher, y'all got two vehicles. I know. Said, could you get along with one? Yeah, but we'd fight a lot. Said, we could, but it'd be a huge adjustment, right? You just think about it. We got you. Hey, and when I was growing up, every home wasn't air conditioned. Matter of fact, very few were air conditioned. Now I'd like to get in right here and say, thank God for air conditioning, okay? Not preaching against air conditioning. But I'm just trying to get across to you, all right? People just had a whole lot less than we have today. Food was simpler. People ate out. Dining out was a rare experience. Rare, I mean, it just was. Yet we look around today and we talk, we think, man, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. It's just struggle. And we just got, you know, but we're making two car payments and maybe we could just go on and on and on. And not against you having two cars. But it's the attitude that I'm not content. I'm not content. No matter what I have, I'm not content. It's not enough, okay? It is not enough. But the Bible says we ought to develop an attitude of having food and raiment therewith to be content. Just to be content with what we have. Not have to think, well, I've got to have more and this is not enough and just always got to have more. We need to develop an attitude of contentment. Just be content where you are right now. Later on, if you can work and you can buy something else, that's fine. But don't go into double debt to get it, all right? Well, that's what people are doing today. People are doing today. I mean, gas prices are going out of sight. Okay, I mean, just out of sight. We've never lived in this kind of time with those kind of prices on gasoline. And we're used to driving. We're used to driving. But wait a minute, people. I hear people saying, I heard a guy today, I don't know where he got these figures, he said he figured it costs a person or a family $2,000 more this year just to buy gas than it did last year. Well, that's a lot of money. And then they said most people are living from paycheck to paycheck. But a lot of that is because we're not content. We're not content. And we've got to go out there. Hey, did you see the new phone that's out? I've got to pick that up. I've got to have that. Well, why? What's wrong with yours? I had a flip phone for a long time. Kids made fun of me. Then I got my first smartphone. I had it so long they were making fun of me again, all right? You know, just making fun of me. You got that old phone. Hey, it was a 3G, right? Y'all may understand what that means. I really don't, but... I understand now those won't work. Just recently, they retired all of that. Hey, fortunately, I got rid of that just before they retired. But why do we have to have the latest and greatest? Well, it's got a bigger screen. You don't understand. I can fold mine in the middle. We got a member in the church. He opens his phone up, and you look at it. Then he folds it out. So look at that. Man, you got to be kidding. But we got to have all the latest and greatest. Why? We're not content. We're not content. Well, wait a minute. My phone, man, I've got 4,000 songs recorded on it, and I've got 8,000 pictures taken. You know, when I got a cell phone, you know what I wanted it for? To make phone calls. Amen. I thought that's what I was getting. I just want a phone. But what is it? Well, we're not content. We're not content. We need to develop an attitude of contentment. Lord, I'm happy with what I got right now. I'm just happy with what I've got. But it's not that way. There is a desire for that accumulation. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9, all right? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Hey, being rich is the dream and desire of most Americans. That's it right there. That's why folks play the lottery. They say, well, I can't make it in the work I do, so I'm going to get lucky and win it. So I'm going to play the lottery and I'll win it, all right? Hey, that's why scams are so successful. I got a text message today from some phone number. I have no idea who it was or where it was. So I looked at it and it said, you know, it talked about getting money that you don't have to pay back. I go, yeah, right. Sure, somebody somewhere is just handing out money. Only people that do that's politicians, all right? But boy, are there strings attached, okay? Hey, listen, that's why scammers, they can get us, because people have such a desire for stuff, for things, for finances. We'll do almost anything if it promises gain. Almost anything if it promises gain. And if we can, if you do turn out to be one of those individuals that just accumulates a whole bunch, right? They that will be rich, you say, that'll end it all. Boy, that'll take care of everything. Boy, it won't. Because the Bible said that crowd falls into temptations. There is a temptation that comes with money. Hey, there's a temptation. I read a lot. There's a temptation that comes when people have a lot of money. They think they can do anything they want to. The temptation comes that way. They think, I can do anything I want to do. They get tempted. And because we're so discontented, we want to take that big amount we've got and make a whole bunch more, so they get tempted to do illegal things. Illegal things. Temptation. Why? It comes with all that stuff. It brings a temptation. The Bible says it brings a snare. That'll catch you, folks. A snare is basically a trap. It'll entrap you. You'll get ruined. Notice it even goes on to say, and it talks about foolish and hurtful lust. Many foolish and hurtful lusts. If you read, as I do, or you even pay attention a lot of time, the foolish things that rich people will do is unbelievable. Foolish things. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And they take chances, all right? And the Bible says in that same verse, it'll drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, I'm sitting here preaching on this, and I wonder if somebody's sitting there going, preacher, I don't know why you're talking about it. I ain't got no money. I ain't never going to have no money. Well, wait a minute. You can still get tied up in this thing, all right? You need to be careful. To some of us, $1,000 is a lot of money. $5,000 is a lot of money. I hear of the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. They now used to give a sum, and now I hear them advertising $5,000 a week for life. That would be a little raise for most of us, wouldn't it? Yeah, just think about that. So what would I do with it? I've told my wife we ought to enter. I said, because everybody I've ever seen win that's older. They don't want to pay them too long, so they give it to you if you're older. I said, we're older now. Maybe we got a better chance of winning. I don't know, you know. I said, did you enter? No, but we talked about it, okay. Hey, but there is that. That seems to be a great deal of money. But, boy, it drowns people. They're ruined. They waste it. It's never more obvious in this day and age than studying the lives of people that hit the lottery real big. Boy, it's heartbreaking to see what happened to a lot of those people. Hey, I'm talking about people, they were what you'd call good people, just good, down-to-earth, common people. Man, they had a bucket load and dump truck load of money dropped on them. It ruined them. Amen. Ruined their family, ruined their life, ruined their business. And they went from being just enjoying life to being miserable. Miserable. You say, preacher, I've heard all those stories, but I would like the opportunity to just see how I could do, all right? Most of us feel that way. We think, well, I think I could overcome it, all right? I think I could overcome it. I've said this many times. I realize why God doesn't give a lot of us a lot of money, because he knows he can't trust us. He knows he can't trust us. Hey, there's a lot of people I've known through my life, been raised in church all my life. I've seen people, boy, when they'd get saved and they started serving the Lord, and, boy, they didn't have anything. I mean, they didn't have anything. And they served the Lord, and they began to be faithful, and God blessed them, and they prospered, and they prospered, and they prospered, and they quit coming to church. They quit serving God. Hey, we're prosperous. We don't need God anymore. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. That's why the Bible sounds the alarm. Look in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You said, that's true. Yes, it is true. You said, preacher, I don't love money. I just love what it'll buy. Yeah, we know we're guilty. Hey, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I want you to notice what the Bible says, which some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith. There's the problem. Hey, you said, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? You'll wind up erring from the faith. you'll get out of being what God wants you to be. You'll get away from being where God can bless you. You won't be the faithful Christian you used to. You'll change your beliefs. Change your beliefs. They erred from the faith. Why? Because they love money. They love money. And it said, man, they coveted after it, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Hey, it's brought sorrow rather than pleasure. And it just a terrible thing. Terrible thing. I told you, watching a show on YouTube, and a guy going through the cemetery and visiting the graves of a lot of very famous people, it is absolutely mind-boggling how many of them committed suicide or died from a drug overdose. Now, they'll sometimes say they died from an accidental drug overdose. I don't know about y'all, but I don't have to do that to get through life. Hey, we're not talking about people that are just run-of-the-mill guy barely making it in life. We're talking about people that were financially well off. They were well-known. They had all kinds of fame, all of that. Everything that everybody thinks they want, and those people couldn't handle life. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Hey, what a thing to do. What a way to take your life. What a way to waste your life. And multitudes of people have done that. Multitudes have. You say, well, what's the answer? Well, the answer starts in verse 6, and we need to accentuate that answer. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Man, I mean, that's it. If you want great gain, it doesn't come through a big bank account. It doesn't come because you got a lot of money. Some have gotten a big bank account and lost all that's precious and priceless in life. Just finished reading the biography of a well-known, in that circle, gambler and underworld figure, casino owner. Two of his kids, one of them went to jail because not having enough money, so they got in a scheme to steal money. And the other one was a big-time heroin addict, lost their life. What a privilege. Why do you want that, okay? That's why the Bible comes back and says to us, hey, it's godliness with contentment that is great gain. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice what verse 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Hey, it is godliness where we ought to exercise ourselves. It shouldn't be, well, I'm checking the stock market, I've got that, I'm making my investments, and I'm watching it. And preacher, I can't give to the church because I'm investing for the future. I've got to look out for myself and my family when we get old, so I can't do anything for the Lord, you know. And I'm watching those things. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible said that's not great gain. That's not great gain. Hey, it's godliness that we should pursue. It is godliness where we ought to put in our exercise. It's godliness where we ought to exercise ourselves. That is to be a Christian in the true sense of being like Christ. That's it. That's what we're to exercise ourselves to. Why? Well, I want to be as godly a person as I can possibly be. How many people do you hear say that? Boy, I don't hear them lining up to say that to me. I've heard very few people say, preacher, I just want to be the most godly individual I want to be. I've heard a lot of people say, preacher, I can't come to church because I'm working now and I've got this job and I got this second and third job because I want to retire early. But what about godliness? With contentment. You want great gain? You exercise yourself. You make a determination in your life that, hey, I'm going to be just as godly an individual as I can possibly be. And you say, in what way? Every way you can think of. Your attitude, your actions, your words, your relationships, in your business dealings, in your home, in the church, everywhere. Now, a lot of people get godly when they walk through the doors of the church. They're very godly here. They can look pious. They sing the songs, you know. They try to put on that front, but they walk out the door and it's all left behind. That's not godliness. That's not godliness. I mean, that's what we ought to exercise ourselves to. Lord, what can I do to be more like you and to make me the most godly individual I can be? What a wonderful thing it'd be if somebody accused us of being like our Lord. And when you were kids, you know, they would... They'd make fun of somebody. They'd oftentimes maybe try to do good, and they'd call you names, you know, goody two-shoes, or they might call a guy, you're a little preacher boy, you know, and it was sarcastic and every way they could. But man alive, when we grow up, it acts like we're afraid somebody's going to accuse us that too. Oh, man, how about being the guy that, you know what, I don't curse. I was talking to my mechanic just last week, and... I don't even know what brought it up. I know he was apologizing for a fella. He said, "Man, preacher, I'm sorry." He said, "That guy was cussing and everything. I'm sorry." I told him, I said, "Be honest with you, I didn't even hear him. I didn't hear it, didn't know what was going on." I said, "But I appreciate you feeling that way." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I do my best. I try not to curse around you." I said, "Well, you ought to try not to curse all the time." All the time. His wife walked up. He said, "Well, I'm a mechanic." I go, "Okay, so a mechanic has to cuss. Is that what you're telling me?" "Well, you know, I bust my knuckles so many times." I said, "You don't know how many times I've hit these fingers with a hammer." I said, "I found out saying anything doesn't help. When I mash mine, the thing helps most if I stick it in my mouth. Suck on a little bit. It seems to ease it just a tad, you know." And I was talking to him about it, you know, and I said, "At home, do you curse at home?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, you're not a mechanic at home." Hey, can I say this to you? Don't you think we ought to be godly people? We name the name of Christ. We profess to be Christians. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness. You can have a lot of money and not be content. The world's filled with a lot of people that way right now. They've got tons of money. They are not content. Hey, godliness with contentment. But notice, I want you to go back and take one more look at verse 7. Okay? Verse 7. "We brought nothing into this world," and we talked about that. But notice that last part, "and it is certain we can carry nothing out." The old joke, you know, here's a guy, a rich man, he died. Say, how much did he leave? Same thing the poor guy did. He left it all. He left it all. You say, "Well, I'm going to have him put it in the casket with me." You got to be kidding. You really think it's going anywhere? Hey, it's amazing the ideas people get. Look back there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 when we read that. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little," in verse 8, "but godliness profiteth in all things, having promise of the life." Hey, wait a minute. "That now is, and of that which is to come." That's something that'll pay off in the next life. Godliness. Not you having a multi-million-dollar bank account. Now, I'm not against you having a multi-million-dollar bank account, but I am if it's going to keep you away from God. I am if it's going to keep you from living for God. Hey, the world's got this thing, the relationship, all wrong. The world's attitude is found in verse 5. You look at verse 5, it says, "Supposing that gain is godliness." See, that's the world's attitude. The world's attitude, the gain is godliness. Hey, you know, if it's big, then God has to be in it. And I just think about that for a second. The Tower of Babel was big, but God wasn't in it. God wasn't in it one bit. Hey, my friend, the wicked prosper. The Bible tells us that in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, the wicked do prosper, but that doesn't mean God's in it. That doesn't mean God's in it. Not one bit. Godliness with contentment. You want to cultivate? That's what you need to cultivate. Godliness with contentment. Just put those two things together. But you'll never have godliness apart from being born again. You must be born again. But not only that, just being born again doesn't make you godly, but it does set you up where you got a chance, all right? Set you up, got an opportunity, and then it becomes you to live what God wants you to live, all right? To live out, as the Bible said, work out your own salvation. Put it out there. Put it on display. Godliness with contentment. Is great gain. Do you have that gain? Are you trying? Are you working on it? Now, which one do you need to work on the most? Godliness or contentment? Or both? Yeah. Hey, man, godliness, contentment. We struggle with those things. We struggle with those things. People divorce and remarry. Why? Well, they're not content with the spouse they had. Not content with that. You know, hey, we change jobs. Find out you got the same bum for a boss at the other place, all right? Hey, listen, we try everything we can because we're not content, not content, not content. The Bible says godliness with contentment's great gain. I want that gain. I want you to have it. But I mean, we'd work on those two areas, all right? Godliness, contentment. You've not been born again, that's where it starts. If you've been born again, then it takes some effort on your part. Remember what we read there in 1 Timothy 4, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's putting forth some effort. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come just naturally. Well, that's just easy. No. It comes because you exercise yourself to. Would you bow your head tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Let me just ask you, hey, where do you need to work? Where do you need to work? Need to exercise yourself unto godliness? Need to put in that effort? Hey, maybe you need to work on just being content with what God's given you. Lord, just help me to be content with what I have. Most of us look like we could afford to miss a meal. The Bible said if we got food and raiment therewith to be content. Content. Are you here tonight? Maybe you need to trust the Savior. If you would, we're going to sing a verse of invitation, give you that chance to come. You step out, walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. But maybe you're here as a Christian and you need to start a new exercise schedule. A good place to start, it's at the altar. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to use the invitation for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.